When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of This Is Us 2 is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. It's a new year and it's a great time to be talking about skincare and makeup and just making sure that you're not using the same old stuff from, heck, previous decades.
Don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to look like a This Is Us 2 character and age yourself with the wrong stuff on your face.
You don't
want to
be Kate in her eyeliner face.
Ooh, no. You
can't do that.
You can't do that. But what you can do is check out some amazing makeup that is really, you know, free from all the bad chemicals and yucky stuff going on that sadly we allow in a lot of our cosmetics here in the United States. You can get this by going to MinuteWithMary.com. And if you wanted to get a discount on my favorite product, our Epic Mascara, you can do that by going to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. This is something that I only allow to our podcast listeners. It gives you a 15% discount on my Epic Mascara. So check that out.
This isn't about you, Kate. All right, I love you to death. And I love Jack more than anything. That tension that you're feeling when I'm home, okay, when you look at our son, I see pure, unbridled joy in your eyes. But when I look at our son, it just makes me sad. Sad that he'll never see the ocean. Sad that he'll never know what we look like. Said that he'll never watch Star Wars with me, okay? So, yeah, I kill myself at the gym and I vent to people other than my wife because I don't want to see that look that is on your face right now.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us 2. It's a podcast dedicated to the show This Is Us on NBC. So let's sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Everybody and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and you know I love doing this show on Facebook Live because right now we're doing our podcast on Facebook Live for all the people that are watching there. So if you ever do want to watch us in the studio and get everything going and see how we create a podcast, you can do so usually on the following day after the episodes. But the reason why I love doing Facebook Live is because actually before we started recording, we were talking to some of the viewers on Facebook Live, and one of the questions I got from Dolores Reed Little is, why do you always call Mary Marvin?
Why, Blake?
This is an ongoing thing.
This is an ongoing
nickname that she's had. Oh, geez.
Probably for over a decade.
For at least 10 years from me. The reason why it started, I don't know why. In my family, there are two reasons why I started calling her Marvin. In my family, whenever someone did something like off the wall or like just not themselves or kind of stupid, be like, "Hey, Marvin, what are you doing? Stop doing that." But it really came
the real reason.
It really came. I would say that occasionally, but it really came to fruition because Mary was always hungry and still is always
hungry,
constantly hungry, and I always used to call her Starving Marvin because, you know, that's what she was Starving Marvin, always looking for food. And then I didn't feel like staying Starving Marvin anymore. It was just Marvin at that point. So
now
that's
our kids even call me Marvin.
That's true. So it's Marvin. That's how it goes.
Not all the time. Usually it's Mama. But often,
you know,
Marvin makes its way in.
So that's that. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to This Is Us 2. I'm so excited. We're here chatting the winter premiere, episode 410. I'm glad to be back. I remember we were watching the show last night and you were like, man, I just missed this show.
Yeah.
You just
like,
I just really miss it.
I miss it. Like, you know, when you get together over the holidays with some friends who you've known since childhood and they just know you and you can go months and years without seeing each other.
Absolutely.
And then you get back together in your mom's basement with some just like, you know, orange cheese and crackers. And you're like, man, we've got a good thing going on.
Yeah.
I love this friend. And that's how I feel about This Is Us. I love these people.
Yes, I love them too. It's great to be back with them. It's you know, I always get this kind of comfort when I see Jack and Rebecca together, especially in their younger years, even though there was a little bit of a tension going on in this episode, mm-hmm. which is great. And, you know, I even like the conflict too. I like the family drama of it all. And getting back into the Pearson, you know, slash Damon life. And, you know, for my, you know, I just told the nickname story, but for my actual story for this particular episode, you know, Toby and Kate are at odds with each other. And it manifests itself originally with the whole Lady Kryptonite thing. And obviously, why wouldn't it, right? You know, that's...
Where's Kara? Or yeah, Kara,
whatever. Yes, there is. It manifests itself that way, but the tension and everything about the story and the two characters is much deeper. The deeper part of it is Toby can't see things the way that Kate is, and when that happened in the show, I really related to that, mm-hmm. in so many ways, but the most specific way is actually something that was very similar to what happened to Mary and I when we had our son initially. He was our first child. We didn't know anything about anything, you know, like, yeah. we were suffering. And not only was it really bad because Mary was suffering from postpartum depression, but also our son was wicked colicky and he was just crying. Like, it never stopped. It was like, I always say, it was like CIA torture in Guantanamo Bay.
That's what, like, they told me in postpartum healing. They were like, oh, you literally were tortured.
Right. Like, you were like,
by
emotionally, all of it. Yeah, it was just
audio.
And,
yeah.
And Mary was so, even despite the postpartum depression, by the way, it was severe. Like there's certain levels. Like, level 5 is like when you hear voices in the shower. Mary was just like
that's
half
psychosis.
Whatever. It's like Mary was
not,
like a,
no. I was severe.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying is Mary was like
depression.
A step below that. You know, like, she was. It was very bad.
They're two very different mental illnesses. Yes.
But what I'm saying is, even though she was going through this incredibly difficult and I say this remarkable, it's worthy of remark thing.
Yeah.
She was so unbelievable with our son and always saw the good, and despite all the crying and never sleeping and doing all this, she always was like, this is our son. This is our boy. And I remember coming home and sitting in our driveway. Well, at the time we had an old apartment that was built in like the early 1900s in Providence, and I would get in the driveway and I could hear the kid crying in the driveway from the kitchen.
He's got a good set of pipes. He still does.
I would say that he could be the next lead singer of AC/DC.
Yeah.
And like, that's no joke.
There
is zero hyperbole. And I could hear him crying. I remember thinking, oh man, all I could do. I had a Dodge Charger at the time, V8, Hemi, the whole thing. I'm like, all I could do is put this bad boy in reverse and drive west, young man. Drive west with a credit card and a full tank of gas and just keep going till I hit California, and then get on a boat and go to Japan, and then keep going, you know, till I got all the way back to the East Coast. And all I saw was the negative. All I saw was how brutal it was, how hard it was. And like, I looked at him and it was just pain. It was pain, absolute pain. And Mary was incredible. She did everything. She got him the right doctor's appointments, got him the right, got him to see the right people, got him the right stuff to help him with his colic. And here I was, you know, just like, not paralyzed by the whole thing, but just terrified and worried. And our relationship had evolved to a point where it wasn't just us anymore. It was this crying kid also. And man, I just, when Toby said, all I see is just how hard all this is. Yeah, man, that stuck out. And that's why we played it at the beginning of this episode today. But before we go on with the rest of the show, Mary, we have to remind all the people where to find us. Where can they find us?
Oh, you can search all of your podcast apps for Mary and Blake or This Is Us Too. You know, if you have an Apple device, for example, you actually have a podcast app that's already on it. It's purple. It's cool. It's there. It's got you covered. But if you're on Android, you can find us on Stitcher. You can find us all over the place. Also on YouTube. A lot of people like to listen to our podcasts on YouTube.
Yes.
We're basically on all the social media fronts. You just need to search Mary and Blake. And if you want to be old school and go to a website, it's actually a very beautiful website. Blake designed it.
Thank
and
you.
It's very, very fancy.
It's because I'm Batman.
MaryandBlake.com. We couldn't wait until that wedding website was gone. You know how that was like a thing? I think it still is a thing that brides and grooms do. They like reserve it. Once Mary and Blake from Timbuktu or wherever they were lost the domain.
That's right.
Scooped it up. So MaryandBlake.com. That's where you're going to check it out. All of our podcasts.
That's right. Hey, Marvin, you ready to get into the show?
I am.
Let's do it.
I'm no longer starving.
No, you're not. Well, this episode was entitled Lights and Shadows. Again, as always, well, not again, but not as always, but again, this was the winter premiere of season four. So you look at it, it's like season 4A was the first 9 episodes, and now we're in season 4B. This is the beginning of season 4B, the winter version of This Is Us, which is a pretty common practice for a lot of broadcast television.
Yes.
You know, usually when you get into the pay shows, kind of like Game of Thrones or Outlander or all those, usually you get all 13 episodes all at once. Broadcast, they generally split it up.
Which I appreciate.
The director was Yasu Tanida. Yasu Tanida is a name that you don't know, and you probably should know, because he's the longtime, pretty much only cinematographer for This Is Us since the beginning.
Sorry.
And so a cinematographer is the guy who's the one who checks all the light.
Yeah,
and
it's like really important.
It's an important, it's a big deal. It's a big
deal. And how fitting with the title of this episode.
Lights and Shadows. Yeah. I know. Look at that. Uh-huh. There are so many different things going on with it. And, oh, by the way, speaking of Lights and Shadows.
Yeah.
Lights and Shadows obviously is a reference to young baby Jack being able to see the light and the shadow with his hands, and you know, and he can see them finally. Obviously, that's a reference to it, but it's also a reference to what Rebecca was talking about with baby Randall and how she saw the lights coming through and the sun rising and the shadow coming off of the buildings and everything. So, like, they're getting very smart with these episode titles. They're not messing around anymore, which is good. And but he's been the cinematographer, Yasu Tanida, for 69 episodes of This Is Us. And this is his first and only credit so far as a director.
Well,
that's it. And the writer was Ebony Freeman, also a name that you don't know, but probably should, because she started off as a staff writer in season 3 for This Is Us. And her first credit ever for writing was, well, not ever, but her first credit for This Is Us is actually Our Little Island Girl.
Oh, cool.
In season 3. Yeah. And she worked her way up as a staff writer to story editor in season 4. And now this is her second credit for This Is Us. So,
well, congratulations to these two.
I know. Hey, we're getting big time over here. All right. So, Marvin, what's your lemonade rating?
My lemonade rating is a 4.8, a solid high up there episode. Not quite a 5, which is okay. I always like to get the 5s for, you know, the beginning of a season. But as you said, this is kind of like midway beginning of the season. So a solid 4.8.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get you. For me, I'm at a 4.6 on this one. A good episode of television, doesn't blow my doors off, doesn't, you know, as we like to say on Mary and Blake Media, doesn't move the needle all that much for me. Some of it does.
Is it a pony or a horse?
No, I'm not. This is
a pony.
This is high pony, low horse.
Okay.
Okay. So high pony. I could be convinced that it's a horse.
Maybe a little trot.
Yeah.
Okay. A little canter.
Maybe it's a pony on steroids.
Okay.
You know, like you got a couple cycles in and you grew some muscles.
Okay. Maybe like next year's crop.
Maybe next year's horse. Yeah, we're right on the cusp.
Okay.
Okay, we're right on the
watching
cusp.
Watching too much of The Crown.
I know. But yeah, 4.6, not bad.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Scale of 1 to 5, exactly.
Yeah, yes. I enjoyed it. Like it was good. It was good to get back into the flow of things, especially.
But
as
it's
a
not
premiere.
Like we need to rewatch that right now.
No,
yes.
No, no, no.
Okay,
no,
I understand.
I'm not there with that.
I got
that.
You.
All right, so what do you got for your GBG? You're okay. Good, bad, and great.
Okay, so my good. There's so much to digest in this episode. As I said, almost all of the core cast was there. You could be doing a GBG on every single one of these characters, every single one of these mini storylines. To be honest, but just where I am right now, let's go with the flow, guys. So my good is Kevin's optimism. Mm-hmm. Blake and I talk frequently about optimism and having a glass half... Let's be real. I talk frequently to Blake about having more optimism and a more optimistic outlook. And I adore Kevin. And I think... I just loved how he was like, come on, universe, bring it to me. And that's it. Well done, optimism for Kevin. However, my bad. Why wasn't optimistic Kevin invited to the party?
What do you mean?
To the birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
Kate's like, oh, I'm throwing this really cool birthday party for my husband. You know, your one brother-in-law. And look at these cool shirts. Saying this all to Kevin. And it's like, this is his brother-in-law. He's there. It's not like he's out of the country. And he obviously had the afternoon free because he went on a date with Rando.
Yeah.
Okay? Why wasn't he at least invited?
Rando.
We're going to have a discussion about
Rando. Oh, we're having
Rando.
A big discussion about Rando.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know the girl's name. I'm just going to call her Rando.
Yeah.
This is random girl number 4, I think. For Kevin.
Or
3.
Oh,
it's Rando
like
3.
The worst. Yeah. She is. No, I already know what her real name is. No, in my mind, I was thinking this driving and I was like, I know what I need to refer to her as. What is Ursula's name that she turns into? And she's
Vanessa.
Like Vanessa. You know, when Ursula and the Little Mermaid is like, bam, she go, bam, bam, and she's got the black hair. It's like sleek and sultry and she just oozes sex. Vanessa. Why did they choose that name? Oh, I remember. It was the 90s.
Yes.
They could have just named her Kimberly.
Oh, man.
Anyway, but they were like, Vanessa's sexier than Kimberly. Okay, anyway. So why wasn't Kevin invited to the birthday party? I know there was his CrossFit friends, but baby Jack-Jack was there.
Yep.
Okay? Why don't you invite the brother-in-law that lives in the same city as you?
Yeah, you would think that they would.
This is the freaking Pearson family.
Yeah, these people, like Randall says, they fly at the drop of a hat.
And yet Kevin doesn't
go to the
birthday
party. He can't drive 15 minutes down the road to go to the party.
He has nothing to do.
he's got plenty of stuff. He's got to call John Legend.
No, that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay, and then my great is I love you and don't you ever forget it, said by Jack Randall.
Oh,
I mean, Jack Pearson.
Not Jack Randall.
I just made up a whole new character.
That is some fanfic right there.
No.
Actually, that would be apropos for Outlander, by the way. I love you and don't you forget it. Oof.
Stop it. Stop.
The chills
okay,
thinking
anyway,
about bad boy.
That moment with the sparks flying and then fast forward to older Rebecca Pearson with the tear. And her lips pierced for like, not pierced, but her lips like closed
pursed.
For pursed.
Not pierced.
Yeah. And all I was thinking was like, is she trying to savor that moment and savor that kiss? Is she just saying, please don't forget this? I can forget spatulas all day.
Yeah, but I'm not going to forget
food flippers for life, okay?
That is going to be a t-shirt. Food flippers for life.
But don't you dare let me forget about sparks.
Do you know what those sparks
and I love you
and the I love you and the kiss deserve?
Oh.
I only reserve those normally for the fives, but those, that kiss and the sparks and don't you forget it.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that moved the needle. That moved the needle for me. All right, my first G. Actually, is a tie. The tie part of it, the first one goes to Sterling K. Brown versus John Huertas, i.e. Randall versus Miggy.
Oh, I was feeling this.
Your boy Miggy was a little wrong. Was a little wrong, but so was Randall. They were both a little wrong, and they're both going at each other.
But Miggy did such a great job apologizing. How many men at his age do you know will actually say, "I was wrong, and I'm really sorry, and I'm going to do better"?
I totally agree. I get it. I'm totally understand. But I'm saying they're both a little wrong, and it made for great television. They're both going at each other.
And I'm not going to lie, as I watched it, I saw myself being both of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I know as soon as my dad starts to lose it, I'm going to be getting after my stepmom, being like, excuse me, how did you not do this? Yeah. And then I also know that when I'm old and people reprimand me and I'm like, no, I am someone who does say I'm sorry and owns it. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I am.
I think you say no a lot more to people that who aren't named Blake.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I meant was you say sorry to a lot more people not named Blake. You don't really say sorry all that much.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's
because
okay.
I'm always right. I can continue. It's your bad. Your tie was
sorry. So, but again, that's those scenes between the two, because you know Miggy is usually
no
kind
Tess's
of,
hat.
Miggy,
that's
I
a deep reference, and this is us
that's
too.
A very deep reference. That's like that's a deep cut right there.
I was
Tess's
right about
hat.
That.
and it took the editor of the show to prove you right. So yeah, it was a great, great bit of acting between the two. They don't normally act with each other. Like mm-hmm. I like those pairings that you don't normally see.
Yes.
And Miggy usually is like the kind of comedic element to the show for a lot of the show. Like everyone kind of sleeps on Miggy. Y'all sleeping on my boy Miggy. That's what it comes down to. And in this one, he kind of stands up for himself, mm-hmm. and I liked that. So that was good. But the tie. And this was really close. It goes, again, speaking of the editor, it goes to the editing of this show. Once again, the editing of this show, Howard Leda does a phenomenal job with the transitions with from the memories that Rebecca has with like these blurred images and how they're transitioning from reality to her memory. And at first, you're like, what the hell? Like, I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. But another thing that really is great is his use of music and how she'll be off in her own world thinking, and then something will pop her right back into reality, and the music cuts, boom, right there. It stops, and all of a sudden you as the viewer are injected right back into reality.
Yep.
With Rebecca. You know, it, especially how it all relates back to the song from Joni Mitchell that she references, which is the song name is California, how she references her amazing memory holding a baby Randall with all the lights and the shadows and watching the sunrise and all that other stuff. She put a rock man on that, was that. And it all related, all of those transitions, the sunlight, the blurring of it all relates back to the memory of her holding baby Randall. The editing is just spectacular.
So beautiful.
The bad. I am not big on the home invasion part of this story.
Which we will talk about next week for sure. So we're not going to get too into it right now. But you're just saying the cliffhanger part you don't like.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's going to be a topic for next week.
Listen, I don't mind a big cliffhanger. And I'm sure, I'm not sure. I hope that they pay this off. I got a cool theory about this too, by the way.
I got a
cool hot take.
See, I am 100% on board with this ending.
Okay. See, I'm not, and the reason why I'm not is because I feel like, it's put in there for the sake of being put in there,
mm-hmm.
and it they need to create some kind of conflict.
I mean, first it's This Is Us, and they love to have cliffhangers.
Yes.
I find this to be so much more reasonable than the cliffhanger of, oh, Kate, what happened with her ex-boyfriend? ..
Yes,
which
I would agree.
Still has not been resolved.
No.
Whereas we know this leads into next week. As I told you, they wouldn't be able to tease next week.
Sure.
Without having this cliffhanger. They wouldn't be able to show any teasers, like, at all. If this is going to be a Randall-centric story next week,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with monsters,
yep.
It would be really hard to go from the episode that we just had without even this little bit allows us to put next week into context.
Mm-hmm.
And this little bit allows us to have that continued story thread because it happens as he goes downstairs from just coming home. I mean, who knows? Maybe he accidentally left the door unlocked because he's so tired. Maybe he came in and didn't turn the alarm back on because he's so tired.
Yep.
It had to happen seamlessly. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Again, it just, for me, it just feels a little cheap. It feels a little cheap and it feels like it was inserted in there. And it's not that I don't appreciate the continuation of the story, but it's more like they're doing a home invasion just because that's what they need to do to move the plot forward for Randall.
Completely disagree, but we'll get into that.
That's fine. That's fine. And my great is Mandy Moore.
Oh, she's so good. Bow down.
Mandy Moore is a revelation in this episode for me because she has, like she normally does, she has to play many characters in one episode. But in this episode in particular, going from a young mom to an older woman suffering from, you know, the memory impairment that they're calling it, whatever it is, that's a big fracking leap. That is a big fracking leap. And she owns it.
Like, makes you wonder how they would do the recording schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, would they do a lot of the memory issue episodes or shots? You know, sure. Like how they shoot the season, for example. Do they try to shoot a lot of those so that Mandy Moore day to day can kind of stay in that character?
Yeah,
or is it like, okay, today you are perfectly mentally clear, new mom, Rebecca.
Yep.
And tomorrow you are just completely like, who knows, like Rebecca later in this season where she's probably even more confused,
sure,
you know? So
sure.
It'd be interesting to find out how they do that for her, but no matter what, for her to be able to flip flop, not only age wise and not only how she carries her body and her facial expressions and her voice,
yep,
but to now also be like adding on this element is
right.
So well done.
So if anybody from This Is Us production is listening to us, just send us an email or send us a message on
Facebook. Let us know how
Facebook
that works.
Or Instagram. We're here. We're ready to talk about it. But also, not only is she portraying somebody that is a young mom and then someone who is very old, but not very old, but older, suffering from what the beginnings of dementia probably would be, she's also playing a young 20-something who's fallen head over heels for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that range is incredible. Like,
yeah.
It's, and she sells it. She owns it.
And the makeup team, I'm telling you.
Oh,
I am
my
telling
God.
You.
Oh my God. So yeah, I'm
the jowls are what kill me.
Yeah.
They do such amazing work with the like laugh line, the smile line, jowl area.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's gone.
Yep. So Mandy Moore, and I've always known that she's been great, obviously. But in this episode, for some reason, she just stood out to me where it was like, yeah, man, you get it. All right. So you want ready for the big three feedback?
You
bet. Let's do it.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three.
All right. The first one comes from Sonia Abraham. She says, meh, it was maybe a 4 lemonade for me, maybe even lower. I'm a Kate apologist. But when she walked away from Toby, when he was being open and honest with her, I was irritated. The reaction you gave him was exactly why he hasn't been talking. He has a right to feel sad. Kevin's storyline was boring and predictable. We all knew that the chick wasn't going to be talking to her mom. And throwing John Legend in there, oh my gosh, it just felt cheap. Like, oh, we know this will get us more ratings and people will talk about it. So let's drop another celebrity who's irrelevant to the story in here. Rebecca's mom had the only moment I will probably ever like Rebecca's mom, though. Good for her for telling Rebecca what her dad did. And damn if Jack didn't give her a great love story. And I don't know, maybe I'm just in the mood because my kids are sick and I haven't had much sleep, but this one just didn't do it for me.
Eileen Marie gives this episode a 4.3 lemonade. She said, for me, it was a rough start to the second half of the season, but I'm still excited for what's to come. Her good was the Miguel and Randall conversation. I love that they're showing how her diagnosis or lack thereof is impacting the family, since medical stuff does involve everyone, not just the person being diagnosed. I thought it was such a real moment for Miguel as her husband and Randall as her son to have, especially given the tension that I'm sure is still there in their relationship. Now, Eileen's bad is for a show that is so good at twists and surprises. I find the storyline so predictable this episode. I knew they wouldn't be that basic as to have us think that the hall pass girl would be endgame as soon as she mentions her mom. I figured she was cheating. I figured the conversation about Lady Kryptonite wouldn't be the end of the tension of Toby and Kate. I also figured that the teasers were carefully trying to spin it, that they are pulling apart because he doesn't love Kate, when there would actually be a bigger reason. I do really like that they're showing him struggle with Jack's blindness, since that's such a real portrayal of parenting a child with a disability too. As soon as they showed how peaceful everyone was sleeping in Randall's house, I also figured something would happen to disturb the peace. It was just all too predictable, which isn't that normal for This Is Us, and it was a bummer. And Eileen's great was the shots going in and out of focus and the music going in and out with Rebecca's story. At first, I was really disliking the transitions because I didn't get why the blurry focus was happening. Once they explained the sunrise story, it made it so much more sense, and I loved how it was the visual storytelling for Rebecca's mindset. Her focus and memory was going in and out the same way the focus of the shot was, and I thought that was a beautiful way to show us how that was possibly working for Rebecca. I think they wanted us to be confused and even bothered by the blurriness because that's how Rebecca felt experiencing it.
Oh, man. You know, just great. I cannot be. You know what, Eileen? You get this.
Bam! Just like that, a winner.
You can't get it. We cannot be in any more agreement. I'll say that. Candy Gurgle Heart Sock says five lemonades. The good Jack and Rebecca. Could they be any cuter? So happy Rebecca's mom encourages her to pursue Jack despite their doubts about him. The bad, Toby is really messing up. Kate is trying so hard to be upbeat about Jack's eyesight, and he is just sad. And I think he's totally lying about why he changed gyms. And Kevin? Really? John Legend for some random girl? And by the way, answer your phone. Sophie is so going to be your baby mama. And great Randall, flying to California just to be there for Rebecca. And Miguel really didn't want to notice something was wrong, by the way. Being forced by Rebecca not to tell Kate and Kevin and then come home to crazy guy with a knife next week is going to be epic. And yes, there is a question here from one of our listeners.
Okay.
Mark Benjamin, he chimed in. He asks a very serious question.
Okay.
Very, very, very serious.
All right. Okay, I don't know serious. If I'm ready for this.
Says, hey, you crazy kids.
Yes.
Do either of you have a celebrity hall pass when either of you are out of town?
Well, we have never had this conversation.
We've had this conversation, like, kind of. But it's not like, oh, we're going to, like, it's not like it would really ever come true. But, like, the person that I think would be fair for me would be Cindy Crawford.
I would not allow hall passes.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but like, if there was, I don't want to allow hall passes either, but if there was one person that you could.
Listen, that chick came to Rhode Island recently. Remember, she was coming here to do something with some furniture store. And I was like, there's no way you can come home. You gotta, remember she was here. She was doing something with Cardi's. And I was like, oh, you miss Cindy Crawford. Or she was doing something with some furniture store.
I don't remember.
Probably, maybe I thought I was going to mention it to you, and then I was nervous you were going to think you got a hall pass.
No, I wouldn't want a hall pass, but if we were to have a hall pass, who would be your hall pass?
I don't think I have one.
You don't have one?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be Tobey Maguire or Jake Gyllenhaal?
No.
Oh, Justin Trudeau?
No.
Really?
No.
You wouldn't, you know, with this Prime Minister of Canada?
No.
Really?
No.
I am shocked.
Nope.
Wow.
All those famous people, they do some weird things that I don't think I'd be into.
What do you mean?
Once I heard about Richard Gere in a hamster, it has changed my mind about celebrities and wanting to ever be with celebrities. Period.
Celebrities do some weird stuff.
Yeah.
I
found the news article about Gwyneth Paltrow's candle today. If you haven't seen that, Google it.
Oh.
Okay, it's a very personal scent. I'll tell you that.
No, God, please.
So I'm just saying,
no,
I have no hall pass. You know, nope. Period.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough. I'll give you that. All right. So now we're out of the hall pass conversation.
Good. That was uncomfortable.
But let's kind of transition into the whole Kevin and random girl number three.
Oh, okay. You want to go that way with the pick three?
Yeah, I kind of want to do that. And you,
I'll take your take.
You had some thoughts about this, and I'm dying to hear it.
Oh.
I'm dying to hear your thoughts.
Okay, because I feel like this was probably one of the most hated storylines, and people are complaining like, this was kind of boring. Bah, 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 bah.
It wasn't that it was boring. It was just predictable and dumb, in my opinion.
So, for anyone who doesn't really like the idea that he has a matchmaker or was like dating multiple people in a day,
mm-hmm.
I've done that. Okay, so match.com. Like, yes, I didn't have a matchmaker because I was poor,
mm-hmm.
but...
You weren't even poor. You were Poe.
Yeah. It's part of the reason I was going on so many dates. Part of the reason I was going on so many dates is because I was like, then dinner will be covered and lunch will be covered and coffee will be covered. Mm-hmm. Done. Check. But I was a serial dater, and there were many a days where I had multiple dates lined up on the same day. And I was just cranking it out because for me, I wanted to figure out what my hard no's were. I started with a blank slate after I, you know, was done with the serious boyfriends that I'd had. I said, you know what? I got to take everything I thought and just throw it out the window and start at square one and figure out what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear things that are like hard no's for me, like you said, when Kevin was like, nope, like when that lady was like, at least Ethiopians are good for something.
Just like, I love how you just got up and threw money on the table.
Yeah,
clean yourself up.
Yep, that's kind of what it would feel like for me. I'd be like, okay, that's a no, and that's a no.
That's
so
a hot end.
I kind of loved that scene because I've done that just on the other end.
Sure.
And then with his real grandiose gesture of taking who we shall now call as Vanessa out on this date. So we have to keep in mind what seems extravagant for Kevin is extravagant times a thousand. You know, he is literally like big time movie star. He is like, what, Leo DiCaprio worthy? I mean, what are we thinking now that he's had his big thing in the movies and now he's got nonstop gigs?
He's not Leo worthy.
What would you say he is now?
He's had like one good movie.
Adam Driver? He's like big time
he's
on
not
TV.
Even, he's not even Adam Driver.
But, okay, what is he?
I would say he's
But he's
like,
hotter. Like, he's hotter than Adam Driver.
Yeah, but Adam Driver's been in three of the most popular films ever made.
Just recently, though. Like, he's just hit it. And that's the thing. Is Kevin's like just hitting it.
No, I would say he's a lot. He's like, he was like Shia LaBeouf when Shia LaBeouf was big.
Oh, see, no.
Like Transformers Shia LaBeouf.
See, but now all of us have a bad taste in our mouth. Didn't he do that really weird show where he talks to a dog or a guy dressed in a dog costume?
No, that was...
Who was that?
That was, what's his name, from The Lord of the Rings.
Wait, isn't that Shia LaBeouf?
No!
Are they brothers?
No!
They should be. They should be brothers in a show. Anyway. No.
That is not Shia LaBeouf. What are you
That poor guy's career. From going from Lord of the Rings to talking to a guy in a dog costume? Are you kidding me? Oh, the poor thing.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so no, I feel like, okay, so once again, going back, this guy is at the top of his game. You know, he was very, very famous for being one of the most popular television shows. Now he's hit it out of the park with movies. He's rocking sobriety, so he's really able to focus on his career. And for him, this is extravagant. This is meeting who he thinks is the girl of his dreams, taking her out on the ultimate date. Well, I'll tell you what.
Elijah Wood. Frodo.
Elijah Wood. See, but you forgot his name. You forgot his name too, right?
Is it Elijah Wood? You should play that game. It should be, is it Elijah Wood or Shia LaBeouf?
Okay, so pick a movie that one of them was in, and I'll do a quick thing. I'll figure out one. Pick a movie. You can't.
Indiana Jones.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, Shia LaBeouf. Good girl. Okay. Good job.
There we go. Can I picture him holding the ring? No. Here we go. All right. So they totally should be brothers in a movie.
Oh, my God.
So one day, there was this girl who was a serial dater who dated a ton of people and then met a guy at a pub. And that guy, 2 dates later, did his most extravagant date and took her to the Green Monster seats at Fenway Park. And said,
stupid.
Can I please parade you among my friends and call you my girlfriend? That really happened. That was the romantic wording.
It wasn't exactly that.
It was more like, I would really like to be able to parade you around my friends.
But it didn't come. Okay, for everyone that's...
Whatever. You know, I was so happy because I had 2 hot dogs and a whole bag of peanuts. I was starving. I thought we were going out to dinner at an Italian restaurant. it's fine. It was great. But like, this was Blake's extravagant. This was Blake's last minute getting Red Sox tickets, getting not only Red Sox tickets, but the most highly priced Red Sox tickets.
At the time, yeah.
At the time, like you know what I mean? Like, this is like day of trying to get these tickets. So for you, that was your big reach. I'm going to go and take her to something very extravagant. So if you multiplied that times if you had Kevin Pearson's money and fame and connections, it would have been that
John
date.
Legend.
So that's why I'm not, yeah, if you, Blake Larson, were able to pull that off, I would say that's too much. But we need to remember that we're talking about an A-list celebrity who's got
B plus.
Okay, A minus. I just feel like he's really up and coming.
He's
like
not Adam Driver.
No, fine.
He's Shia LaBeouf.
He's not Shia LaBeouf. He's not. I'm going to find someone else who I think he is.
Oh, man.
I'm going to find him.
Channing Tatum.
No, Channing Tatum's like on the downslide, man.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, this is not who we're going to find Kevin's equivalent.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that Kevin has the connections. And for John to be like, hey, Kevin, like, all right, obviously they've hung out. So I'm fine with this date, period. How do you feel about Kevin's storyline?
I'm out. I'm 100%. We're going to do an early version of In or Out. And I am out on this whole storyline. I am out on the whole thing. Like, it was predictable. It was.
For the record, Kevin was my good, and my bad was that he wasn't invited to the party. So tread lightly.
It was all too much, too quick. And it just, like, the heavens opened and he met this girl who looked at him and she looked at her. And it just, I didn't think that he would fall for that so quickly. And not only that, it was just written so plainly obvious that there was something wrong. Like, the second that she was texting whoever
it was. I believed
it was
her mom. I believed it the entire
time. No way.
I think because I'm just so eager for Kevin, but I didn't like her. I got the Vanessa vibe.
And if he had done something like took her...
It's because she had black hair and a red shirt. That right there, watch out.
Oh, yeah, that would,
if
that'll
you
do it.
See a brunette, like a dark brunette, wearing red...
Mm-hmm. Watch out.
That is TV for watch out. Miss Scarlet's coming, like Miss Scarlet from Clue.
Yeah.
Don't watch. Don't trust.
Don't trust Miss Scarlet.
Don't trust Miss Scarlet.
You can't trust. You cannot trust Miss Scarlet.
Mm-mm.
No, and that's actually
don't go
how
to the library Mary with a candlestick.
Mary and I met on Match.com, and that's actually what she wore on her profile picture. Nice red shirt with the long dark hair. And I was hooked.
All of it's fake. For those of you who don't know me, I am salt and pepper because it was dyed. I'm just saying it was fake. And the shirt didn't even fit.
It didn't fit.
It would have fit the 13-year-old, but the way I cropped the photo, you couldn't see my midriff showing, nor the fact that my arms were squeezed. It was a great shirt for a photo.
But what I'm getting at here for Kevin is that it just, and then having John Legend on, and like, it was just like so like corporate synergy. We need to get The Voice out there, and you know, and John Legend's on The Voice.
Oh,
and
I didn't even put that two and two together.
Yeah, and he's going to be on This Is Us, and yay. It's just so transparent.
I mean, but that's what these network shows do. It's like when everybody for the ABC shows growing up would always go to Disney, and we were like, why does everyone go to Disney? Oh, Disney owns ABC.
Right, but it felt cheap. It felt like a gimmick. And I did, if he took her to like the, she wanted to go to Hollywood Boulevard, right? But he took her to Hollywood Boulevard and...
Well, he can't go there because everyone's going to be asking for his photo. He wanted to go somewhere secluded. He's not going to take her where he's going to be...
I guess what I'm saying is if he did something for her that was outlandish, right? But it didn't just happen to have John Legend. I could accept it more. But all of a sudden, John Legend is just waiting around for Kevin Pearson's phone call.
NBC already owns John Legend.
The guy's the sexiest man on the planet, and he's waiting around for Kevin Pearson.
But NBC...
Shia LaBeouf.
The writers went to NBC and was like, hey, we need to do something extravagant. Who can we have on that we already have ties to and who's nearby?
Sure.
And they said, you can either have Blake or John. And they said, cool, we'll take John.
Yep.
Meaning Blake Shelton.
Yeah,
not you.
No, not me, because I'm clearly...
Oh my God, that's what NBC said. We've got this jabroni
got this
in Rhode Island who
podcasts in his basement.
Let's get him.
Imagine me be like, hey guys, sup?
Who's your favorite musician? Screw musicians. I'm really into podcasts.
And I love this guy. His name's Blake.
Anyway.
Blake Shelton? No. So, yeah, I'm kind of out on this whole Lizzie. Her real name's Lizzie, by the way. but we're going to call her Vanessa because I refuse to call her anything else now.
Yeah.
I'm out on Vanessa. I'm out on the whole thing. I'm even almost kind of out on Sophie calling because I feel like this should be done. We should be done with Sophie. Let's move on. Let's do something different here. Kevin, if like Sophie had called, but we didn't have the whole like, oh, hey, let's get back together thing, but I'm drunk at your party and we break up again like a couple of seasons ago, I'd be fine with it if we didn't have that.
But I think that Kevin is supposed to, like, I think each of the Pearson children are supposed to mirror pieces of Jack now that he's gone. And I think that Kevin has, you know, the alcoholism and the sobriety, but also wouldn't it be amazing for this tragic character who has had this illness to also be able to get the love story as well?
Yep, yep. Let's talk about, and this kind of transitions from Kevin and his desire to kind of fulfill all the stuff that his parents went through with their storybook love that he considers it. Like, it's just like
this
perfect love story.
I think it's so
cute. It is cute that he thinks that. But as the show portrays, there's some hard stuff here that these two have to go through. And like,
I'm looking up hot actors right now, just so you know.
Oh, God. Of course you are. There's some stuff that these two have to go through. And I want to get your thoughts on it. One of my theories is, well, do I want to say this right now? No, I don't want to say this right now because that's my hot take. What did you think about the whole story with Jack and Rebecca? Is it believable where he's like, yeah, we need to take a break. Like, we're doing all this stuff. Do you feel like Jack Pearson would do that? How are you feeling about this whole situation between the two?
The fact that he has zero money. So he just literally got ripped apart by her dad.
Yes.
Things are so serious that he does see a future for them romantically. And yet he can't put two nickels together. He can't pay his rent. He's already 2 weeks late with his rent, trying to do everything he possibly can. And as a guy, you know, it is, and well, it was in that day and age, expected that he's be picking up the tab for the date. So how are you going to date Rebecca Pearson when you can't even pay the bill?
Right.
So he feels like an ultimate schmuck, was just told by her dad, you can't be with her. He's hearing it from left and right. You got no money.
Mm-hmm.
I completely see it. And he tells her why. He doesn't make up a lie. So I'm appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's not going to be forever. We know what happens.
Yes. You know, Elizabeth Perkins as Rebecca's mom is awesome. She feels like that kind of lady, but I love the twist in this whole story. It's that her mom is the one who gave her the, not the courage, but like
the push,
a slight backhanded push to be like, listen, if this is what's going to have to happen, do it right and go get them and go do the whole thing and make sure you're in a good place.
I want that dress that Rebecca was wearing.
I want everything that Rebecca wears.
Period. Just all the knitwear, all the hats.
Everything.
Yes.
Especially that hat that she was wearing in the game plan, the white hat, you know, like
I know.
Oh, man. So, you know, it's a great twist that the mother does it. I guess what I'm concerned about is the stakes of it all. Like, were you ever concerned? Like, I was a little thrown off where Jack was like, yeah, we need to take a break. But since we know that they get back together again,
I wasn't concerned at all. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like, I'm concerned about the stakes in that, like, they just weren't there. Like, I know they're going to get back together. It's just a question of when. So,
now it's so out in the open. You know, obviously, Rebecca knows that Jack doesn't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to know if she's even seen the inside of this apartment. You know what I mean? Where she was saying, you don't want to come back to my place?
Yeah, you get the sense that she's never been in it.
Yeah. So I think that they really needed to have this happen to show the severity of how little money he had and how she really was okay with it. Because that's what I felt. I felt like she hadn't seen the inside of his apartment, that he was kind of able to brush things aside, you know, do cheap dates, you know, the Apple, all that kind of stuff. But for him to have to say, no, we need to break up because I honestly don't have enough money to to give you a good relationship. Yeah. I think that needed to happen. And then for her to say, it is 100% okay. I choose you no matter what.
Right. And that feeling, I think, is a legitimate feeling, because I know I felt that. I still feel that with Mary. Like, I feel like, man, I just, you know, I had an expectation for our lives and our life together as a married couple where I'm like, yeah, my expectation is different than our reality right now. And I get discouraged about that. And I'm like, man, I don't deserve Mary. Like, she'd be better off like being with somebody else who has his stuff together, like some banker or like some, I don't know, day trader or
I dated a banker.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really know is it called dating if you do it, like if you have three dates in a day? I went on a date.
You went on a date. Yeah,
there
you go. There you go. But yeah, like I have that feeling where she's like, yeah, I feel like she would be better off with like some stockbroker or like a doctor.
No. Oh, the doctor was the worst one.
and yet here she is stuck podcasting in our studio in our basement with this jabroni who drinks beers and watches the Red Sox.
I'm very happy. Stop with the bad self-talk.
What I'm getting at is it feels real and it feels like that it's a legitimate thing. So while I don't think that the stakes were there, I actually think it was a smart move to not stretch this out. Solve it right now. We all know that they're going to get together. We all know that it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So stretching it out is dumb because you're just stretching it out for the sake of stretching it.
You're already stretching the Kate Toby line.
Yeah, a little bit. So
that is a stretched piece of mozzarella. You know when you get that mozzarella stick and you're stretching it and you're like, let's just see how long this can go. And you move it a couple more inches and you're like, dang, this is stretchy cheese. And then you have it and it's like your entire arm length. You got the piece in your mouth and you got a half in your hand and you're like, I'm the mozzarella cheese champion.
So
and I'm 40 years old almost and I'm doing this in public.
So I like the fact that they just resolved it because you know what? Let's just get it out of the way. Yes, there was this conflict. Yes. This happened. We resolved it. Let's move on. Like we see how they are with each other. Let's move forward. But Correct. You bring up Kate. You bring up Toby.
Yeah, I tried to do a little transition right there.
They don't pay you the big bucks for nothing. We call that a big league transition right there, ladies and gents. How are you feeling about the whole? You said they stretched it. You said that they stretched it. What do you mean?
This has been stretched since Toby woke up in bed alone. Okay, this has been stretched.
Yeah, this is stretched. this is probably equally to like her. Remember that? Remember when everyone was trying to figure out who her was the whole time?
No,
this, and that?
This is different though.
You think so?
Her was like a It was teasing us. It was baiting us. This is stretched out in the way that it really is. Mm-hmm. When you are living this kind of a life, when you are living life with a child with a disability, once again, for people who don't know, my older sister is severely handicapped. And my parents did have a difficult 22-year marriage and did end up breaking up. It's the statistics for marriages when you do have a child who has a disability is very, very low for them to stay together.
Sure,
and it is a difficult route. No matter what, having a child is difficult on a marriage, you know, and that's what they're able to show, that even if Jack wasn't blind, the relationship between Kate and Toby would most likely not be, you know, rumpy pumpies every day and making merry all the time. Like, it is tough. They are tired. They are stressed. They're trying to figure things out. And then, yeah, like we had a child with colic.
Sure.
That added massive stress on us. But what Kate and Toby are dealing with is something even stronger than that. And you really are trying to piece together the positive moments. And for Toby, those are very few and far in between. He is scared as a father.
Yep.
The things that he dreamed of as a father, the particular things that he said, I can't wait to do this with my son, he can't do.
Right.
And he now has to rewrite that narrative of his life.
When you said it's stretched, is it stretched in a good way or a bad way?
I think it's stretched in an uncomfortable way where probably everyone is like, all right, we get it. They're not happy together. But I think that's life.
Sure.
There are very few marriages that are rocky that end very quickly.
Mm.
I mean, we're all assuming that they do break up, that they aren't together in the future. And I think that this is very realistic. I think we're all supposed to be like, oh, this is awkward. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to feel awkward, especially with the merriment of other things and other people going on. Like, being an adult is really frigging hard. And you can tell that these people are going to bed saying, is it me? Is it us? We're supposed to be in the trenches with Kate and Toby. We're supposed to be in the trenches in this very awkward relationship. It's supposed to be boring. It is supposed to be like, can someone just do something? Sure. But if someone does something, they end it.
Right. And I like the way that that whole potty was shot. You know why? Because you could feel the awkwardness. You could feel the tension throughout the whole potty. And you, I think, I mean, I know we have been in this situation where we've been out and we're like, something ain't right. And we know we can't talk about it right at that moment. And you're just, and Kate says it in the show. I've been dreading this conversation this entire night. Yep. And like, it's supposed to be a fun night. It's supposed to be something that everybody could celebrate.
She faked it pretty well.
She did a pretty good job. But the way it was, the subtle looks, it was the calmness of it all. It was like this, it was so impactful to both of them that you could see how they maneuvered around each other.
I am so mad at Toby for, you know, coming clean. Like telling her not to worry about kryptonite, but not telling her about the gym change. Like telling her, oh, there's nothing to worry. Because when they came home, he said, oh, yeah, there's nothing to worry because she brought it up.
Sure.
And yet then just say, why not just say it then? Or even if you don't want to say the kiss part, say, you know, to be honest. Or did that?
No, the kiss happened after that. The kiss happened after the whole thing when they came back.
I just don't understand why he wouldn't tell her, I switched gyms. I don't understand why he couldn't have told her.
Well, then she's going to ask why, and then he's going to have to answer.
Yes, and why wouldn't he say? Why couldn't he come home and say all this?
Because then it looks like he's an idiot, and he was wrong. Oh, of course he is, but I'm not saying he's right, but
I'm
get it.
I'm just disappointed in Toby.
Yeah, I think it's hard not to be, but it's also a situation where you're like...
Are all of us as the viewership supposed to be Team Kate right now? Is that really... I mean, I feel like that's what the writers have wanted us to be. That they're like, yeah, you know, relationships are hard, but we all want you to side with the Pearsons because family is important.
I think so, but you know what? This is the point where I think nobody's right and nobody's entirely wrong either. Like,
how is Kate not right? What'd she do wrong in this episode? She threw him a party. I mean, she forgot to invite a brother.
Yeah, that's true.
She got him a really nice present.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well, so then let's do that then. Kate is, I think, for the most part, right. And Toby is wrong, but he's not 100% wrong. Like, he did everything for the good of his relationship, but he just didn't communicate.
How much longer would he have lied had she not found out that he left 2 weeks before? Like, this is just not okay. This is just some severe trust.
Yeah.
I would not be okay.
Yeah. But it's scary, though. Like, how do you admit to your wife, hey, this lady did this and I was wrong? This was something you had to worry about.
Well,
I mean, like, what if I did that to you, how would you react to that?
I would say, I told you so.
That's true.
Because I've told Blake that no woman needs to come to him telling her about his issues.
That's true.
Complaining about her husband. The moment that a woman comes to I'm speaking from our relationship. The moment a woman comes to a married man talking about her personal life, her personal issues, they need to abort that mission, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Leave that friendship. You are not their best friend. You are not their shoulder to cry on because there's going to be a little something extra. And this has happened, what, now twice? Where like a friend has like gotten in a little and I've been like, watch it. Watch that one.
Yes.
And he's been like, oh, no, they're fine. Then when do you know? I'm like, watch her come to you with marriage problems in a couple of weeks. And sure enough, that's what happens. And you've listened. But there's just this little thing in women that's like, you got to watch out.
Mary said it. Women are bees.
Yeah.
Women are not bees, like bzz bee, but like bee.
The swear word bee. And I love my female friends. And I think that female friends... are amazing and lovely. But I think if a female friend becomes very, very intertwined with a married male friend, things will not be good.
It's okay to be friends, but not intertwined friends.
Not I'm going to complain about my issues. I'm going to complain about my wife. I'm going to complain about my child. You start getting in there and things will just automatically, things get yucky. So, yeah.
Yes.
That's where I'm at.
Yep. I'm
team Kate right now, and I'm not cool with, I think that Kate is going to have trust issues with Toby going forward.
I would agree. And it does call into question why Kate is not in the future. It does call into question why he's not wearing the ring. It calls into question a whole bunch of stuff. And the thing I like about it is that the conflict that they're having is believable.
Completely.
It's believable. It may not be the most compelling television, and you may not like the storyline, but I will give them credit. It is believable. And it's all the little things that keep happening that are just building. That are just building and building and building and building. And like, especially knowing Toby and his bout of depression and how Kate has handled the weight loss situation, all of that stuff combined. Oh,
and that's life.
Bad recipe.
Like, that's it. Like, that is real life. When all of
not
us have,
great,
you know, these multiple, it's like a club sandwich. You've got this going on in your life and you've got this aspect. Like, as we get older, we just keep adding more things on that club sandwich that make it a little sticky.
Right. Talking about a sticky. Yeah. We had a sticky situation with Randall and all the people. We already talked about the ending. We talked about
Miggy. We didn't talk about the ending.
Well, we touched on it. So let's
talk about
you. Really, you want to talk about Miggy real quick?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what sticky you're talking about with Miguel.
Well,
I mean, with Randall.
I think the whole thing is sticky, but
the ending, Miguel.
The Miguel is sticky, but not as super sticky as the end.
Miguel wasn't sticky.
Miguel was a little sticky. He was, if there was like a sticky level, he'd be closer to the sticky side than the less sticky side.
It's just awkward relationships when tensions are strong.
He's
I think that was very realistic.
It was like the tape
what
that
you... What are you meaning sticky? Like, I guess I need a little clarification.
It's just a sticky situation. It's just like, how do I handle this?
Okay,
like,
you're not saying I don't like this plot point. You're just
saying
it's awkward.
It's just awkward. Okay. And, you know, and it resolved itself and I'm fine with it. And I think it was a natural thing, especially with Randall.
It.
Especially with Randall being like when Miggy says you out Randalled yourself or whatever it was, like you were being Randall.
Yes.
Like the fact that he's standing up for himself, he's standing up for his bride, he's standing up for I got this covet. And of course he's wrong because he doesn't have a covet. He's just pretending that she's fine and she ain't. And then even coming clean at the end, mm-hmm. saying. Yeah,
I'm
I was just
be
trying
on top
to.
Of this.
I got this. Yeah. And Randall saying, "Yeah, I know. I know you do. Yep. I know you got it.
Loved it."
But it's funny to me because Miggy ain't around later on. So does he really have it? Does he really got it? Is he really gonna?
Or does Miggy die?
Miggy may die. It could happen.
Miggy could die. There will not be issues if Miguel dies. I mean, people will be sad. I will be sad. I will mourn Miggy's death. Miggy could die, and it wouldn't be out of like.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
Come on now. Don't sleep on my boy Miguel. I'd be sad. I think people are going to be sad.
No, I'm not saying people won't be sad. I'm just saying if that future shot that we saw of Nikki sitting by Rebecca's bed and Miguel isn't there, maybe Miguel's just getting a coffee or maybe a mocha. I feel like he'd be a mocha guy.
He's a mocha guy.
Like, want a little sweetness?
Is he a mocha and caramel guy or just...
Oh, no, just mocha.
Okay.
He doesn't need to be that extra. He saves that for Christmas when he goes for peppermint mocha.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
Good job, Mary.
Okay, so do you want to talk...
Let's talk about the super sticky situation.
Okay.
This is super sticky.
Randall comes home.
You are in favor of this. I am not.
So in favor.
Like, I don't get it. Like, how are you in favor of this? How are you in favor of this choice from the writers? I can't
understand
get on board.
What you're not on board with. So if you could clarify. Are you not cool with
this? It just feels
this?
Like they're just sticking it okay in there.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Is it that they're leaving it on a cliffhanger, or
no.
Do you not like this?
I'm fine with cliffhangers. I'm all about the cliffhanger life if it's a good cliffhanger.
Okay.
Like, you know what I would have been cool with?
Yeah.
If Randall walked downstairs and he had the reaction that you saw, like the wide-eyed, like, oh my God reaction, and then they cut, yeah. I'd be like, oh, that's cool. What did they do? What's going to happen?
But then they couldn't tease the next week because everything he's talking about.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. I get it. I'm just saying I would have been happy with that. Because you don't know who it is. You don't know what it is. But again, I just feel like they just stuck it in there for the sake of causing some kind of reaction for Randall. And this is gonna hurt Randall in one way or another. And
Completely.
You wonder what's going to... Is he going to get hurt? Is any member of his family going to get hurt? How is he going to handle that? Is it his fault
so
that the door was open?
So why do you have a problem with it? Because exactly, these are the things you're supposed to be worried about for Randall
right
now.
Because they've already alluded to the fact that Randall was starting to fall apart.
Yes.
And they don't need some dude just showing up with a knife and some junkie in his house. They don't need it. They've already showed evidence that Randall was falling apart. Let that exist. Let that tell the story. Don't bring in some jabroni to go in this guy's house and pretend like there's this big conflict.
As someone who's been broken into twice,
yes,
one time with me being there where the intruder was,
mm-hmm.
This is real. And Randall moved to not the safest place. He went from like crazy gated community, super safe, and now he's in the city. Okay? This happens. This happens frequently, mm-hmm. where they're going to stake out rich people houses and come in when everybody goes to sleep. So this is all realistic, in my opinion. I've known way too many people to not only be burglarized, but to also have someone come in while they're either sleeping in their house or even on the cusp when they're awake. So I see this situation as being 100% believable. I think that it is. I mean, how many people do you know that have been broken into?
My,
at least a few, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
All of us. So remember, this is us touches upon all these things that actually happened to us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be this crazy like NCU, what even those, SVU, I don't even know, like abbreviated.
NCIS, CSI, yeah, like SVU, SUV.
QRSTUV, like one of those shows where it's an extreme.
No, God, please.
Seriously.
Yeah, that's right, Michael. We don't need that.
We don't need any more of those. So if this is how it's being played, once again, it's something that happens. And does it happen at the best time in your life when everything else is hunky-dory? No. You know what happens when you're having a really tough time and you're dealing with flying across the country after checking on your mom and finding out your mom's not okay? That club sandwich gets another stack higher, okay? More bad things happen. So I like this because if this is in fact what's happening, .. get to that in a hot second. If this is in fact what's happening, this is going to be the giant needle that breaks the camel's back, that Randall was able to handle everything else because he could plan on it. He could plan on flying out to see his mom. He's already been calling the doctors. He's already probably knows the diagnosis of 5 different things that she could be and is making plans on where she can go for care. He's already planning on different things for his daughters. What you can't plan is something like this, an endangerment, and this could be the thing that really completely breaks him and is going to be giving him panic attacks and anxiety attacks. What I am hoping this is that actually this is a reaction of his anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and that this isn't real.
That's what I'm hoping too.
I'm hoping that these monster bad dreams are showing you that Randall's fear is the stability of his home, the place where he feels safe. So yeah. Randall is having, we've seen him have anxiety attacks outside of the home. We've seen him have anxiety attacks, you know, at school. We've seen him have anxiety attacks at work. But have we seen it happen to Randall at home? I don't know if they've referenced it, but I don't know if we've seen that necessarily. He's curating a very, very careful and organized home.
Yeah.
But yet growing up, it's been these monsters, these people, you know, at least from what we can tell from the trailer.
Yep.
And then if you have someone in your home, I'm thinking that it is the anxiety that has built up.
That's what I'm hoping to. If that's the case, I'm in. I'm all in because I like that. I think that's a cool manifestation. And one of the things...
For people who don't know, I suffer from extreme anxiety and I have panic attacks and I've had terrible dreams.
Yes.
So this is why I'm able to be like, I see this and I see him kiss all of the girls and I see him go and kiss Beth, and part of me thinks he fell asleep.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. He fell asleep
and he dreams that he goes downstairs.
Yes, absolutely. I'm all in on that. And if that's the case, I'm in. If this is a real life thing and someone gets attacked,
I'm in either way.
I'm not in if it's a real life thing. One thing I am in on, and this kind of relates to Randall, which is the whole thing with Rebecca and how she's testing her.
A long time.
I know we have.
I feel
well,
so
it's
bad.
The premiere. We're breaking all
okay,
the rules.
Okay.
Rebecca with the clock, and she writes all the numbers. It reminded me of. I know you didn't watch it, but for those who are listening and for those who are watching right now, the show Hannibal, and Hugh Dancy plays Will Graham, who is one of the main characters of Hannibal on NBC, as a matter of fact. And Hannibal Lecter, who's played by Mads Mikkelsen, says, "I want you to draw a clock." And he looks at the clock like Hugh Dancy does, looks at it like it's perfectly drawn. But when Mads Mikkelsen looks at it and he sees what Hugh Dancy or Will Graham really did, it was all screwed up and the numbers were everywhere. It was all, and it looked a lot like what Rebecca drew. And it's because Will, at the time in the show Hannibal, was suffering from memory and depression and all these other things. And I just thought that was such a cool example of how
not only did she draw it, but then she looked at it again and she was like, yeah, that clock's fine.
That's fine. I mean, it's not great. I'm no Michelangelo, but it's fine. Yeah. You know, like, I really liked that visual because it gave you a real visual sense of how screwed up she is and her recognition of how screwed up she is at that moment, where she tries to make an excuse for herself. I really liked that motif that they did with the doctor. I thought that was well played by the writers. Very well played. Anything else you got before I move on? Sorry.
No.
I just want to say, Jack saying, "I love you, Rebecca Malone, and don't you forget it," as she's forgetting.
That was my great.
I know. I just, the whole forget thing, and she's thinking about it. I know it was your great, but I got to call it out again.
So good.
Like, don't you forget, like, oh my God. It's like the Notebook. That's what it reminds me of.
I can't handle The Notebook. I watched it when I was single and I was so mad because I thought, I'm going to die and have Alzheimer's and I'll never have a love who can take me back.
I know, but I can. I got you.
You'll say Stavin Marvin.
I'll say, "Hey Marvin, you ready to close out the show?" And you'll be like, "Oh my God, yes.
I'm back,
Blake."
Okay, let's close. Right.
We got in or out. You ready for some in or out?
Yes.
All right, let's do some in or out. All right, in or out. Let's see, in or out. Are you in or out on Jimmy Buffett?
Out.
I'm way out.
And I even saw Margaritaville, the play.
Yeah.
And it literally was all about people getting drunk and having sex. Like, they took Jimmy Buffett songs and somehow made it into a musical. And I think everyone in the audience got the memo to, like, smoke and drink beforehand.
And you just showed up totally sober?
Yeah. I go see every play that comes in town.
Oh, man.
I'm a nerd.
You are a nerd. Yeah, I'm out on Jimmy Buffett too. I think he's way overrated. He's got like two or three good songs, and even then they're not that good. Like, I think Come Monday is probably my favorite song of his. Like Margaritaville, the song, I'm out. I'm out on it. All right. In or out on margaritas?
Totes in. My birthday is Cinco de Mayo, which I call Cinco de Mary.
I'm in on margaritas only if it's the blue margarita. I don't want the green one. I'm sick of the green ones. I want the blue one.
I will have all of them, even if it's just straight tequila.
Just give me a bottle of tequila. Tequila and I are not friends. We are not friends.
It's my friend.
Ugh.
But once again, it's because of my birthday. I only have fond memories, and I don't really drink to excess, so I have never gotten sick on tequila.
But you know when you drink to excess and you're like, I cannot drink that anymore.
The only thing I've drank in excess was mojitos.
That's
Thanks,
true.
Blake.
Well, I've drinking tequila to excess and I don't like drinking it now.
I can see that.
I did it so much when I was in college. My high school buddies and I, we rented a house in the Cape.
Do we need to hear this story? Or is it going to ruin people's opinions of you?
No. I mean, like, I drank so much.
Is this the squirrel one?
No, that's
okay.
That's when I took mushrooms. That was not smart. I talked to a squirrel for a long time on mushrooms. Not a good choice, ladies and gentlemen. Sounded like a great idea at the time. Not a good idea.
I'm really happy we met later in life.
But I drank so much tequila one time that I got blackout drunk and I woke up the next day in this rented house outside completely naked. just covered in dew and just a mess. I woke up, I was like, oh my God, what happened?
Oh my gosh.
So that's that.
Tequila.
That was tequila for me. Interrupt on professional matchmakers.
In.
I'm in on them too.
I totally want to be one. I even made the name Mary Makes My Match.
That's true.
Or Make My Match Mary.
Oh, remember
or
that
Matchmaker
show,
Mary.
Remember that show Millionaire Matchmaker?
Oh, she sucked.
She was a bee.
She was a bee.
All right, in or out on the show CSI. Way out.
QRX.
QRX. NCU.
Out.
In or out on John Legend.
Here's a fun fact.
What?
Sometimes I judge people when they say NCIS is their favorite show. I don't judge. I just realize
there's
I can't
little
talk about the shows that I want to watch, that I watch with them.
Right, right.
I'm like, what do you watch? They're like, your podcast. I'm like, yeah, often about television. Oh my gosh, like NCIS? No. I also think because it's scary.
All right, in or out on John Legend?
In.
I'm...
Are you out because you're jealous of his talent?
No.
His amazing skills at self-marketing?
He is amazing at self-marketing. I don't know. I think John Legend is too popular for me. You know what I mean?
I think I'm not down with Kevin asking Vanessa, a.k.a. Lizzie, who is your favorite musician, and she says John Legend. I don't think John Legend has had enough credibility in life.
Yeah, he can't be considered favorite.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, but if you're asking someone who their favorite musician, I mean, I don't know.
It better be the Beatles. It better be the Rolling Stones. if you gave me a James Taylor, okay, I could make an argument for JT. If you gave me...
How long's John Legend been around?
You gave me a Wu-Tang Clan, okay, I'll give you that one. Not John Legend. That's like saying, I don't know, Lizzo or Halsey or any one of these new people. I don't know.
John Legend isn't that new. Though.
He's not that new?
No.
If someone said Norah Jones is my favorite artist, would you be okay with it?
Yeah.
I think I'd be okay with that too.
I'm fine. I like John Legend. So but I'm not.
He's not.
Saying,
he's not best. He's not favorite artist material yet.
Not yet.
Yep.
Unless you said like, who's your current favorite musician? Mm-hmm. Then I'm down.
Okay. In or out on Ethiopian coffee or food?
In.
I'm in on both too. I like it. We used to have an Ethiopian restaurant here in Providence. It was the best. In or out, big sweeping first dates.
Out.
I'm kind of out too. Even though our second date was big and sweeping, I'm kind of out. In or out on hall passes?
Out.
Out. Yep, I agree. And lastly, in or out on Sophie returning to be in Kevin's life?
In.
I'm way out. I'm so far. This is a hard out for me, dude. A hard out.
They've been meant to be together since the Princess Bride.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right, you ready? You got a hot take?
Kill my father. Prepare to die. Oh my gosh. If the music of the Princess Bride ever plays during a Kevin and Sophie scene,
mm-hmm. Forget
automatic
about it.
Five lemonades.
It could just be them looking at each other for the whole 45 minutes.
Yep.
All right, you ready for hot takes?
As you wish.
Anybody want a peanut?
That's it, Blake. I have nothing else to say. Anybody want a pee?
Yep. All right. Hot.
Continue. Blake, land the plane.
Oh, okay. All right. Whew. All right. You got a hot take?
No, I gave it already.
All right. I got a hot take.
But this is
I wonder,
his mind.
The thing that kind of leads me to go this way is the fact that Rebecca is remembering her kiss with Jack, and he's saying, "Don't you forget it." Well, all that other stuff. I wonder if the flashbacks start being like hazy for us as viewers because it's through Rebecca's point of view, and like maybe we see things that are happening. But aren't happening the way that they actually happened. You see, like, she has particular memories of this particular thing. Like, you know how sometimes when you remember, when you remember something,
yeah, you remember
it differently. Like, yeah. it's a different whatever. I wonder if we start getting that, and the memories start like playing over one another, and Kevin's like, you get a memory from Rebecca in one part of the episode, and the whole thing is replayed again, but from the perspective of Kevin, let's just say. And you see something completely different.
Yeah.
I really like that idea. And that's how they would probably get more juice out of these flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Sure. I'll be down.
I'm in on that.
More Jack time? I'll take it.
Yep. All right. Anything else you got to say about this episode? You want to close this bad boy up?
I'm done.
All right, Marvin. This is going to be my line to you when you're suffering from dementia. Marvin, let's close out the show. Okay, Blake, I'm back. Here I am. Let's close out the show.
Sitting in a park in Paris, France, reading the news, and it sure looks bad. They won't give peace.
A little bit of Joni Mitchell.
Hey, you can't go wrong. Some of
us, what do you think?
Can't go wrong.
This is the song that she remembers, obviously. Yeah. From California. That was the title of this song.
This scene made me cry.
I know.
Okay. So we want to thank all of you listeners so incredibly much for tuning back in. Here we are. You know, This Is Us is going to be back on, and so will we be. We are going to give you a heads up. In 2 weeks, we may or may not have an episode come out within the week. We are going to be on a vacation with the... Oh my gosh. And if any of you want to break into my house while I'm on vacation, since I just said it stupidly, because, you know, Randall was gone... Maybe someone was scoping it out because they realized the man of the house was gone. Anyway, I will find you. I will Liam Neeson you now that I just announced it, but we will not
I have a certain special set of skills. One of which is speed dating.
Mary. Did one of the top things you're not supposed to do when you leave.
I know. Well, anyway. Luckily no one knows where we live, so that's a good thing.
People can Google.
That's true. Good point. Don't tell anybody, okay?
Just did this on Facebook. It's just never mind.
Out in the open.
Never mind.
Listen, we ain't going to be able to necessarily do the
episode
the 2 weeks from now.
It comes out on time, it'll be in poor audio quality.
Yeah.
And if it comes out post, it's because we wanted good audio quality.
Yes. So. We'll just whistle past the graveyard here a little.
We want to thank you all so much for your ratings and reviews on your podcast apps of choice. Of course, you listen to podcasts, and that means there's other people that do too. So if you haven't taken a time to go to your podcast app, search This Is Us Too, and leave us a little review. It goes a long way. We want to thank Juju Nielsen for saying, I really like watching This Is Us and love listening to Mary and Blake on This Is Us Too. Honestly, I think Mary and Blake's insights and commentaries make an already good show even better. These two are excellent at what they do, and I look forward to each new episode.
And listen, if you want to keep helping out the show, please do go do those reviews and put them out there. It makes Mary and I's day. If you do enjoy this podcast, let us know. And if you don't like it, let us know why, and we'll change it. But if you do like it, tell us why, and we'll keep doing it. And if you want to also keep helping the podcast and keep helping the show, go to minutewithmary.com/discount and check out all the great products. Barry just threw something in the studio. I don't know why. Go out there, and if you want to help it out, go to minutewithmary.com/discount. Check out the products that we have there for a discounted price just for you, the Mary and Blake listener. And that's it. That's find us on maryandblake.com. Check us out on all social media, Mary and Blake. If you want to email us, just maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. You want to get in touch.
Wicked easy.
And join the This Is Us 2 group on Facebook, where you get to talk with Mary and I on a more
consistent... Or deal with us.
Deal with us is more like it. Talk with us on a more consistent basis and a little bit more personal level than just the podcast. You can do that. This Is Us 2 Facebook group on Facebook. That's it.
Please don't break into my house.
Maybe you'll be maybe Mary will be so stressed out she'll be imagining it.
Listen, man, that's not funny.
You never know. I'm just saying.
Well, you'll wake up to me in bed screaming. Watch out. For now, my name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And this is Us 2.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University, certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.